Remembering Mother. This morning we're going to remember a woman from the past, one that represents the best of mothers. These things are told as they would be at her funeral. Her name is Faith. And the things remembered here are told by her daughter, Hope. Both women are the product of my mind, and they are for the purpose of stirring up in your minds things that you remember about your mothers. Some of you, I understand, and know perfectly well, will not have so good memories about your mothers. I know not every mother is perfect, but there are aspects of those things that you remember that will be good, those things that will be less good. The purpose, though, is this, that we honor mothers, that we learn to be the best mother, if it applies to you, the best mother that we can be. And that those things mothers taught us in the past will be renewed in our minds. I know that this is not going to be the standard sermon. It's not going to be 3 points and a conclusion. It will be a little different. And I guess you'll have to tell me whether I should try it again sometime. But here we go. And the minister gives his eulogy, speaks about the hope of heaven for the Christian, and then tells some of the qualities Hope remembers about her mother. Hope told the minister about Mama's high standards. She said, Mama never swayed in her stand on things like purity and fidelity. She expected her girls to be virgins on their wedding nights. She didn't cut her sons any slack either. They were to make sure, as far as they were concerned, that both they and their girlfriends were virgins on their wedding nights. Many called Mama unrealistic, but she said she wanted her children to go to heaven. And she recalled her mother telling her, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. And so Mother stood. Mother stood for purity, and she kept her high standards, even when others were shedding them. Some mothers of our generation would throw the girls out of the house if they made a mistake. Hope says Mama wasn't like that, though. Mama assured us that if we did succumb to sin, that she was still Mama, and that she would still love us even if we got pregnant. She believed in forgiveness and redemption. She reminded us about Luke chapter 15, verses 17 and following. You know the story about the prodigal son. She believed it applied to daughters and others as well. Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. And when he came to himself, he went home. And he was accepted. And rejoicing happened. That's the way Mama was. She believed that, make a mistake, you still have a home to come to. She wasn't going to make you suffer beyond what you are already suffering. Mama assured us, and we believed her. Her standards were high on the things like alcohol, tobacco, and drugs. She never saw any good come from those that were not in her, so they were not in her house, nor could her children partake. There were no bottles or ashtrays. There were nothing like that for guests or holidays in her home. Sobriety was her standard, and this is what she taught her children. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, according to the Apostle Paul. And of course, the Apostle Paul had decades of learning behind him. It would have come from the Old Testament, much of it. But much of it was from the Lord himself. The Apostle Paul might have gone back to Leviticus chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. As we recall in Leviticus chapter 10, tragedy struck the children of Israel there. The priesthood had just been inaugurated. Almost within the same breath, these two things happened. Moses put the sacrifice on the brand new altar. Fire came down from heaven and devoured the altar. And the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, went into the holy place and offered strange fire upon that altar. And God devoured them with fire because they offered strange fire. Now, it cannot be a coincidence that within the same chapter that Moses has to give Aaron a new standard. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, verse 8, verse 9, "Do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations." And here's the reason, verse 10, and this is the reason Mama would have given her children, "that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." We are in a position of having to discern constantly. What is right? What is wrong? What is holy? What is unholy? And alcohol takes away that ability. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. The Apostle Peter weighs in on this matter. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Because there's something seeking to devour you, you have to be on your toes. You have to be able to discern, or you're going to get eaten alive. And so Peter says, "Be sober." Now I know many people would say, "Well, that just means to be sober-minded, to be serious. Doesn't have anything to do with alcohol." But I know what alcohol does to people. Now, I'm not someone who speaks from experience that I've been plastered in my life. I never have been. In fact, I can tell you that there's only been one occasion in my life that I've ever had any alcohol. We were on a trip out to West Texas in 1984. I remember it well because it's the year my papa died. We were in a restaurant in El Paso, Texas. And my mom, who liked wine every once in a while, said, "Here, try this." It was the worst thing I ever had in my life. And I've had some bad things. I've had to eat asparagus from time to time, and I hate that. And it was awful. So I had one taste, and that was it. Never had any sense. But I have been around people. I've been around because I've been on the security at the University of Texas. And you know, the universities are supposed to be no alcohol zones, except for game day. On game day, they want to sell some alcohol, because there's big money involved. And so, especially as the game gets later in the day, you have a 6 o'clock kickoff or even a 7 o'clock kickoff, and people have been tailgating all day, and they've been drinking all day, and they are sloppy, stinking drunk. They are unable to tell whether there's a... They often step into places where they shouldn't. We had to fish one out of the creek that was along the road where I worked. It was 30 feet down. He broke his arm going down there. He couldn't tell that he was going off the edge because he was sloppy, stinking drunk. We are not to be drunk with wine. We are to be sober. We are to be vigilant. And you cannot be drinking alcohol. Some were convinced that her standards were too high on things like abortion, divorce, and gambling. But Mama stood her ground. She said that just because it hurts to do what's right doesn't mean that God will be swayed. She pointed it out to us in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 3. Ezra chapter 10 and verse 3, and I think it's important that you see this. So take the time to go to that part of your Bible. Ezra chapter 10 and verse 3. Ezra had found out that the people of the land, the people that he was there to serve, that they had taken wives of those that God had commanded them not to. What was to be done about it? You know, today, when someone marries someone that they find out in the Bible that they're not supposed to marry, that either they've been married without cause or divorced without cause and then remarried, that a lot of people will say, well, just it would be wrong to get out of that marriage. But God has a different idea, and he expressed it here when Ezra had to tell the people what to do. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Those wives that were taken against God's law and even their children had to be sent back to their nations, had to be sent back to their families. Don't you think there was wailing and gnashing of teeth that day? Don't you think that those partings were difficult and hard? God doesn't excuse a thing just because it's hard to make it right. Just because you think it's innocent fun, speaking of the gambling, doesn't excuse the wake of destruction left behind. Mama told us God knows what stays in Vegas. And covetousness is still a sin. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. I know that it's been a number of years, at least in Texas, since they introduced the lottery. I still haven't bought my first one, and I'm hoping to hold that off until after I'm dead, just so you know. I haven't bought that lottery ticket. Even people say, well, it's for education. That's what the argument they gave us in Texas. I don't know what the argument is here. For education, that you're robbing. If you're not playing the lottery, you're robbing the educational system. I said, well, I'm going to keep on robbing it. Because it's just plain and simple covetousness. Wanting something that you didn't earn. That's what I want. I want what I earned. That's what we all should want. What we have coming to us because of the sweat of our brow. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Beware of covetousness, wanting something that you ought not have, wanting something that you didn't earn, wanting something that is someone else's. So Mama had high standards, and she expected her children to have high standards. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, it tells us about another thing that Mama did. She policed her children. Mama had a spy network. And Hope says, we knew it. Some of this comes from my personal experience. My mother did. My brother was at the volunteer firehouse. He liked to hang out there. And he had never told Mom that's where he was, but Mom knew it anyway. She had people all over town that would tell her, well, your son's here, your son's there. And she would tell other people when she saw things. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, if the preacher can find it. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Mom had a spy network. We knew if anything bad had happened to us before we got home, she would already know it. She says, Hope says, one time my brother had mouthed off to a teacher. And Mama knew about it before the class ended. She showed up in class and asked to speak to her son in the hallway. Inside the classroom, they heard, but Mama! He thought he had a good reason to mouth off to that teacher. Mama said he didn't have a good reason, no matter what the reason was. She would hear the reason at home and deal with it. She said that respect for authority and was essential to maintain order in society, that he had to learn how to do that. When she got home, she pointed out that these commandments in the New Testament were given at a time when a man named Nero was on the throne. That we were commanded to bow to those in authority. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Remember that this is from the Apostle Paul, and that later he was to be beheaded at the order of that same Nero. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So you can believe, Mama told that son not to do that again. She policed her children. Mama believed that if her children's behavior got to the level of the local police, that it was on her. So she knew where we were, knew what we were doing, and knew who we were doing it with. Mama knew. She made it her business to know, so that we could be led in the paths of righteousness. The third thing Hope remembered was this. She taught her children that they had value. Sons and daughters alike felt tender touches and heard sweet words from Mama. She believed that children that went without affection would not be confident adults. She believed that people that felt valued would be more responsible with their lives. They would be better in marriage and better parents and citizens. Even when she had to apply the Board of Education to the backside of one of those errant children, she was back to hugs and kisses when it was over. She knew passages like Isaiah 66 and verse 13, where the Lord applies his dealings with Israel like those of a mother for her children. Isaiah 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. We learn to be valued. We remember those things in adulthood when things are not going right. We remember at home that we had value. We were treated as if we were gold. So should a mother treat her children. She lived her religion, Hope says. A lot of people say that they have a religious faith. A lot of people say that they believe. But Hope says Mama lived it. The passage that describes Mama, Hope says, is Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. People knew where Mama was on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and any time that there was a gospel meeting, she wanted to learn the apostles' doctrine. She wanted to fellowship with the brethren, and that there were things that she could do in order to spread forth the good news and to comfort her fellow Christians. She wanted to be there to do it. She wanted to edify others, and so she was found with the saints. James 1 verse 27 also applied to Mama. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. While never neglecting her husband and children, she could be counted on at the local congregation. She was there, and people could look for her. She was in the same place every service. They knew where she was going to be, and no one would be there to say, well, she just wasn't there. The final thing that Hope remembered about Mama, and I'm sure that there were many others, but you know, eulogies are supposed to be rather short. She honored her husband. Mama said this, that she could never understand a woman that would go to the lengths to marry a man, accept his protection and provision, and to be his most intimate companion, and then belittle him in public. She didn't understand it. How could you believe the golden rule? How could you believe what Paul said about a woman obeying her husband? How could you believe the Bible and belittle your husband in public? She thought that the women that did that were bullies. She believed that their husbands, or they believed that their husbands couldn't do anything about it. And they just thought they would look bigger if they did that. But Hope tells the story of a time when Daddy had told her no about something that she wanted. Hope said, "When Daddy's back was turned, I stuck my tongue out at him. Daddy saw Mama with a paddle in her hand heading to my room and asked her what was up. She asked Daddy to trust her, that she needed to take care of it herself, that she would tell him later. Daddy agreed, and believe me, she took care of it. He didn't disrespect Daddy. Now, Daddy wasn't perfect. He had faults. He wasn't very good with finances, for one thing, but all of us kids agree that it was Mama's encouragement that caused Daddy to become a deacon and then later an elder. Mama showed him that he was valuable, that he could do things, and she encouraged him to take on more responsibility until he finally came to that level. What's the conclusion? The conclusion is to remember these things about our own parents. Each and every one of you, no matter the level that you have to think about your own parents, have something good that you can remember about Mama. Something good that you want your kids to remember about you. And other things that you could add to it if you would learn and obey the Word of God. This was an ideal. An ideal that we ought to strive for, not just mothers, but everyone in general. We ought to look to the book. Look to the book to tell us how to live and become precious in the minds of others. You know, it was many, many years ago, a man by the name of Benjamin Disraeli, who said something that was very true. Very true. He said, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." In our minds, we can see our lives, that the path those lives have taken because of those that have touched us in time past. And I submit to you, no more so than mother. Mother was the one that was on the first line, on the front lines. We often talk about those that are the first line defenders on things, that we call the fire department, that they're in the first line. That we call the police department when our safety is in danger, that that's the first line. I submit that no, that's not true. And Mama's home. Mama's home, and when we're in danger, we call Mama. When we're hungry, who do we call? When we have a boo-boo, who do we call? When we need comfort, who do we call? Mama's on the front line. She is the one that takes care of those children. Now, fathers have a great deal to do, and we'll talk about that next month. But Mama, let's honor her, and let's remember the good things of time past. There may be someone here this very morning that has realized that there is sin in your life, and you need to take care of it. This is a pulpit that preaches the gospel, the good news. If you realize that your life stands in sin right now, and that if God were to call you home today, that you would have nothing to say. You would have to stand in your sin. God would not accept you. Not in your sin. Doesn't matter how good you are, how many people you've fed. Doesn't matter how you wouldn't hurt a fly. None of that matters. What matters is, have you been covered with the blood of the Lamb? That's what God sees, and the lack of it, it condemns you to a devil's hell for eternity. That doesn't have to be. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you repented of your sins? You know, it simply means you've decided to do things God's way, and that you leave your own will behind. That's all it means, that you've changed your mind. Changed your mind from your own willful way, or the way of some human that you've listened to in time past. Have you repented of your sin? Are you willing to confess Christ before men and be baptized for the remission of sins? Good news. You can do that right now. In a moment, we'll ask if we can assist you in your obedience. But there may be some here today that have once done that and that have fallen from the good way. if you have been rebellious in your life, you've withheld some things from God that are His due, it's time to repent there as well. It's time to change your mind and come back to God. The way back to God is a little bit different for Christians than it is for non-Christians. A little bit different. The blood of Christ still has to be applied. But the Apostle Peter said to a man by the name of Simon, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Notice that last two words. Forgiven thee. Forgiveness is where the blood of Christ is applied. And as the Apostle John would put it, in 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanseth us from all sin. Forgiven. Forgiven when we confess those things to Him. If we can assist you in your obedience this morning, if you need to confess sin before the congregation so that you can remove an evil influence, so that we can pray with you and for your restoration, we invite you to do that right now. If you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, then do that right now. Come and sit on one of these front pews as you stand, as you sing.